Today on Real Radio.
I would rather worship the God who is able to do that kind of stuff than me doing it myself. Because the glory needs to go to God. Philip preached the kingdom. Philip preached Jesus. Simon preached himself. I'm the great one. Philip was simply a middleman to give glory to God. And we need to remember that. So it says in verse 17, when they laid hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. That is the coming upon of the Holy Spirit. They were already believers. The Holy Spirit came upon them, put his mouth to their mouth. The Holy Spirit put his eyes to their eyes, that they might walk and see and minister in power. You who are born again this morning, when was the last time you asked the Holy Spirit to baptize you in his power? You need that. I need that every day.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. And the part of chapter 8 that we're looking at tells the story of a man commonly referred to as Simon the Sorcerer. You see, he was involved in the occult and bewitching the people of Samaria. In fact, they thought the power of his sorcery came from Almighty God himself. Doesn't this sound familiar? Let's continue. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Look at verse 13. Isn't this convenient? Then Simon himself also believed. Of course, he's losing money. He's losing fame. He's losing attention. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and the signs which were done. Did he come to Christ based on the word of God? Did he come to Christ based on the message Philip was preaching? No. He came to Christ based upon the miracles. People are running after miracles today. Oh man, wasn't that a great service? I had goosebumps like almost all the way through the service. Well, that's nice. But was Jesus glorified? Was the word of God proclaimed? Were people converted? Don't go by feelings. Jesus warned us in the last days that many false prophets will come and they will do great miracles that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived by them. We need to be careful. Simon practiced great magical arts under demonic power, and there's a great contrast. He was baptized right into the church. If you've been baptized, will you go to heaven? Absolutely not. Baptism cannot save you. Baptism is only a very wet experience that tells everybody around town that you have accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life. And if you think that you have to be baptized to get to heaven, then you need to study the Gospels and see the thief on the cross who was never baptized and yet went to heaven. Should you be baptized? Yes, only if you're born again. That's why most churches don't practice infant baptism, because you have to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Remission of your sins means that you have the ability to stand up and say, I'm not going to be a sinner anymore. I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. I'm going to walk after him. And I don't mean live a perfect life. I mean come to him by faith. And you turn from your past. And that's why infants can't do that. It has to be a logical decision. They have to be remissing of their sins. The moment you have that in your heart, then you say, yes, you know, I want to follow the Lord into the waters of baptism by obedience because I've given my heart to Christ. Simon was baptized, but he never made it to heaven, and we'll prove this in a moment. The baptism of a false believer. He was enamored with the signs and the wonders. By the way, in verse 12, the word believed, when they believed, Philip, the people believed the message. The word in the Greek means that they clung to the message. They trusted in Christ. And by the way, listen up, everyone. It's the same word that applies to Simon. Same Greek word. He believed the same type of commitment. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? The Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 19, that the devils believe in God and they tremble at the thought. Jesus said in John chapter 6, these people believe in me because they were hungry and they were fed. That's why they're following me, because they're hungry. A lot of people look at Jesus like he's an add-on. Man, I got a nice house now. I got a promotion. Got a company car. Got that Beamer, you know, and or whatever, Lexus, Benz. I don't know what the deal is. For me, I guess it'd be a Suburban. Got a Suburban now. Can run over cars that stop in front of me. Making a lot of money, I'm doing really good, and you know, things are going so well, my kids are growing up, I want them to have like a moral influence in their lives, because I'm not a total heathen, and so we're going to start going to church, because it's the good thing to do. Be careful, Simon. Hey, he said, look at those signs and wonders. Hey, also, look at all the people I'm losing. Can I be baptized? I believe. And he goes into the waters of baptism, comes up and follows Philip, and he's going, man, how do you do those miracles? He saw God as an add-on. He looked at the power of God rather than the person of God. And how many people follow Jesus Christ to see what they can get? I think I'll become a Christian. It's, you know, there's a lot of stuff on TV about I can get rich. I was watching that this morning. We were in Newport Beach this morning and coming up this way from the retreat. And I turned this guy on. I'm not going to mention his name because you know his name. And this TV screen came on. And his name is bigger than his body on the... That's your first clue. And he's talking about my ministry. Oh, and I'm here. I'm going. And it's like, I. And it's like, oh, brother. And I was so upset with this guy. I'm putting my shoes on wrong. I got the right foot on the left on the right. And I'm just thinking, oh, God. What about the precious people who are sick, who love you? And this guy's saying, if you had enough faith, you wouldn't be sick. And you'd be happy. I don't read anything about Jeremiah being happy in the dungeon. And he was right in the middle of the will of God. I don't see anything about Paul being happy in the Mamertine prison, which they flooded with sewage from Rome daily. That's where he lived. And he loved God, and he said, nothing is able to separate me from the love of God. Can you say that with sewage flowing by your feet? Paul did. Philippians 3:10 says that we are conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, and we receive his power by suffering with him. And we don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear things about hell. We don't want to hear things about suffering. And Jesus says it's through much tribulation that you enter the kingdom of God. Hey, I've got a gold-plated American Express card. I'll just join the church and everything would just be great. I got my Price Club card, my Jesus card, and my American Express card. And it doesn't work that way. And you may be sitting here this morning and you might say, this guy, you know, I don't like this guy. I'd rather have you listen to this and take it to your heart and make a change in your life than to miss completely what God has in store for you. And then we see in verses 14 to 17 the baptism of a true believer. Now, when the apostles that were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. There's a lot of reasons why, and we can't get into it now because of time, but they sent Peter and John as an envoy, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. For as of yet, he had not fallen upon any of them. They had only been baptized, that is, water, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because they were believers. Listen, put your thinking caps on. They were baptized in water because they had earlier accepted Christ as Savior. Are you with me? That's why Philip baptized them. Everybody got that? Then what on earth is this falling upon them of the Holy Spirit talking about? Interestingly enough, the word in the Greek means to overshadow or to come upon, to cover them. The Hebrew equivalent word is found in 2 Kings 4:34. 2 Kings 4:34. Elijah, one of my all-time favorite guys. Great bedtime story man, Elijah. He is so radical. We're going to see him. We're going to meet him not far from now. Not long from now, we're going to meet this guy. I can't wait. And after I'm done talking to him, you can talk to him. But Elijah went to the house where the woman's son had died. And he's lying there dead. The little boy. And Elijah comes and the woman's crying and everything. And Elijah, it says in 2 Kings 4:34, when Elijah went up, he laid on top of the child. And he put his mouth to his mouth, his eyes to his eyes, and his hands to his hands. And he stretched out himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child became warm again. The kid had been dead. Leonard Ravenhill was in Africa, documented, preaching as a missionary the gospel. And this tribe was not receiving the message of the gospel. This is in 1936 or 8. And one of the tribesmen's son had died. And they said, you know what? You raised my son from the dead. We'll believe in Jesus Christ. Now, I believe that God has all power. I just don't believe he wants to use me to exercise that kind of power. It's me I have a problem with. God can do anything he wants. When I read that, I went, eek! And Ravenhill, they grabbed him and they said, come on, fix him. And he's going to that hut, and Ravenhill said, oh God, help me and help me quick. And Ravenhill remembered this verse and he laid on top of the dead boy. And he put his eyes to his eyes, his mouth to his mouth, and his hands to his hands, and he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up. And he said he almost had a heart attack when that child that had been dead for 3 days coughed in his face and stood up, and the whole tribe was one to Jesus Christ. Now, how do you handle that? Oh, man, I want that kind of power. I want to be able to do that kind of stuff. Really? I would rather worship the God who is able to do that kind of stuff than me doing it myself. Because the glory needs to go to God. Philip preached the kingdom. Philip preached Jesus. Simon preached himself. I'm the great one. And Philip was simply a middleman to give glory to God. And we need to remember that. So it says in verse 17, when they laid hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. That is the coming upon of the Holy Spirit. They were already believers. The Holy Spirit came upon them, put his mouth to their mouth. The Holy Spirit put his eyes to their eyes, that they might walk and see and minister in power. You who are born again this morning, when was the last time you asked the Holy Spirit to baptize you in his power? You need that. I need that every day. Very, very powerful. As the true church was being baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon them. In Luke chapter 11, I'll just paraphrase it. You can look at it later. Starting in verse 9, Jesus basically says, if your son's hungry and he wants a piece of bread, are you going to give him a rock? If he wants an egg, are you going to give him a scorpion? No. How much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to them who ask? And by the way, he spoke that to believers. But Jack, I thought the Holy Spirit came inside me the moment I believed. He did. But in the Greek language, there's a third participle to that language, and that is him, the Holy Spirit, not only being alongside you, but in you, but the third one is upon you for power. So that you can have victory, so you cannot be so vandalized by this world. God, you don't have to, that's the neat thing, you don't have to become a Christian. You make the decision to come to him. He makes the decision to fill you up and change you. Jesus, via the Holy Spirit, changes you. You don't have to change yourself. the baptism of a true believer. My daughter this last week, or whenever that was, on vacation, we're in the Virgin River, as I mentioned, and we're playing and goofing off. And my little daughter goes, come on out here, come on out here. What's going on? Just come out here. So I go out onto the water, and she's out there, and she goes, hold my nose. Hold my nose. Oh, what for? Because I'm going to be baptized. Well, hang on a minute. Why? It's pretty here. Well, honey, that's not the reason why you get baptized. Well, I mean, but it's really pretty here. Well, sweetie, you know what? It's for people who give their heart to Jesus Christ. And, man, I got to be careful. I always say, and I know you have. Because, man, if I don't put that in there, she gets all upset with me, man. I've given my heart to Jesus. Who do you think? You're judging me. No. I've given my heart to the Lord. I said, I know, honey, but you know what? We don't do it because it's a pretty place. And she goes, well, hold my nose. I go, she said, we'll practice. And we didn't do it. I won. I mean, I just said, no, we're not going to practice. And I probably totally quenched my daughter out, and she'll, I don't know. I didn't mean to bum her out, but you don't practice. It's in the heart. It's under the understanding that you're walking away from your past life and you're coming into Jesus Christ, but there's that move of the Holy Spirit in Him coming upon you. And then finally, look at this. Concerning the baptism, God will eventually baptize everyone, and that eventually, those who do not come to Jesus will eventually be baptized by the fire of God. In verses 18 to 24. Now when Simon saw this, have you noticed this? He saw. Ooh, he saw the miracles? I believe. He saw, verse 18, that through the laying on of hands, the apostles were able to give the Holy Spirit. Ooh, I saw that. I want to do that. Look what it says. He offered them money. Hey, what's your name? Peter. Peter, how much you take for that? I got a lot of money here. How much you take for that? And he thought that you could buy God, the power of God. And Peter, so subtle, says in verse 20, your money perish with you. And the English is extremely gentle here. Peter, basically in the Greek, says, and I'm serious here, to hell with your money and to hell with you. Peter pronounced a curse on him. Can you imagine if we did that in church today? Can you imagine if this guy over here in this orange shirt stood up and said, hey, you know what? I want to have that power. I've got $1,500. Where do I tithe? Who do I make it out to? Well, basically, to hell with your money and to hell with you. Can you imagine? And we go, oh my, can he even say that in church? Isn't that radical? U.S. News World Report this week. Did you get it? Page 80, what is it? Page 82. The coin and the spirit. This guy begins to talk about what's wrong with America. He's not a Christian. He says, you know what's wrong with America? First of all, we've become to worship the God of Mammon. Really? He says, but the reason why that's happened is because there's a silent clergy out there. He says, the American clergy is to blame because they've lost the compass concerning worldly affairs. Quite simply, this man says, it is dangerous to afflict the comfortable, many preachers say, because it doesn't look good on the church balance books. So they're unable to preach the truth because they're afraid of the reaction of the people. There are people in pulpits who have been bought by congregations and by boards because they've got to pay the bill. Let me tell you something. You may not like what's going on here at this church. I got news for you. God's blessing this place anyway. Money's never been an issue. We've never had to ask for money. We'll never ask for money. We give you the opportunity to worship the Lord through your giving, but it's only for the believer. I was asked last service, how do we raise money around here? We don't raise money around here. We've written it into our bylaws that we would never do such a thing. We would never have a money drive or a car wash to gain money for the church. because the Holy Spirit is to provide. This is His church, and you, for you to grow and to enjoy the love of God, not to have to fill out a coupon every month. That's God's business. And Simon is the one who coined the phrase, his life and his attitude, simony. Have you ever heard of simony? Simony was in practice in the medieval church of selling religious offices for money. Conferences would come together and say, "We'll make you pastor for $2,000. Okay. It's called simony. People making merchandise off the church. It's wrong. And God will judge. And we'll wrap this up. Look what Peter says here. And we'll wrap this thing up quickly. Get your pen ready. Verse 20, circle the word perish. That is in reference to non-believers. That's how we know Simon's not a believer. It's in reference to those who were perishing, John 3:16, but put faith in Jesus Christ. He says, because your thought that the gift of God could be bought with money. The word thought means your plot and scheming. He had an evil mind. Verse 21, you have neither part nor portion. You are alienated from the inheritance of God, and you have no fellowship with us. Heavy, isn't it? For your heart is not right in the sight of God. Verse 22, and here's what Peter was trying to get Simon to do. Repent. Change, the word is metanoia. Change the way you think. And then at the bottom of verse 22, that you may be forgiven. Meaning the Greek, he was not forgiven. He was still in his sin. And he was in the church. Isn't that heavy? Not popular stuff. God will baptize everyone in the end, and it's your responsibility this morning to make sure that you can be baptized by the Holy Spirit, get baptized in the ocean, and get into heaven and enjoy the life of having your sins forgiven. Don't put it off. The scripture says that there only awaits a fiery indignation in the end, and no one will be able to blame God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, leading us through an examination of verses 9 through 24 of Acts chapter 8. It's the account of Simon the sorcerer and how he sought out the power of God, the Holy Spirit, but for all the wrong reasons. We'll continue with our journey through the book of Acts on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. We invite you to visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. One reason is that right under the banner that reads Special Offer, you'll learn about the 2-CD set we're offering. It's called When a Christian Prays. Pastor Jack lays out the correct biblical view of this privilege of being able to communicate with our Almighty Maker. Whatever questions you've ever had on prayer, they'll likely be answered in this solid treatment of the topic. Now, here's our offer. We'll send you Pastor Jack's 2-CD set called When a Christian Prays when you make a tax-deductible contribution of any amount to Real Radio. You can read more about it when you visit us at realradioactive.org. It's right there on the front page under the banner Special Offer. Again, this 2-CD set of Pastor Jack's teaching, When a Christian Prays, is yours for a gift of any amount in support of Real Radio. Now, you can order online, realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or get in touch by telephone, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.